She Said is a movie about women sitting in rooms talking, punctuated by scenes of women driving to the accompaniment of dramatic music. And occasionally, to add some scintillating variety to the very impressive cinematic spectacle, women walking to the accompaniment of dramatic music. The music is intended to infuse gravitas and importance to utterly normal everyday actions. A car driving down a street may appear banal. But with dramatic music, it becomes so much more. Aspiring filmmakers can learn much from this. This simple technique of having stock music play over an otherwise utterly vapid scene can turn pointless filler into highly compelling cinema. For example, drinking coffee. Now let's apply the She Said technique of filmmaking. Masterful. What we learn from She Said, the Me Too movie that defined an era for the five people that saw it, is that massively oversaturating a film in the same dull chord progression with a hackneyed string arrangement that could have been generated by an AI. Turns what would otherwise have been a mind-numbingly boring, almost torturous exercise in brain-damaging tedium into a masterclass of cinema. Normally, Nicholas Britell, the composer for She Said, is excellent. His score for Andor was superb, particularly Andor Volume 3 featuring the prison escape arc. His piece Unto Stone We Are, which plays during Cassian Andor's mother's funeral, is outstanding, but he evidently didn't find much to be inspired by in She Said. I wonder why.
Nick, please write very poignant music to emphasize the dramatic undertones of this car driving down a road.
Okay. She Said follows the brave, powerful, and stunning story of two New York Times journalists whose names I can't remember and will not pretend to know by copying and pasting into this script, as they uncover the story of Harvey Weinstein's predatory crimes. This empowering tale of heroic journalists fighting the system follows Journalist 1 and Journalist 2, who are so similar in their personality, opinions, speech, life, politics, mannerisms, and habits that they are indistinguishable from one another. In all seriousness, if you told me these two women's names, I still would not be able to match the names to the character on screen, but I do know that one of them is Carey Mulligan, so for the rest of this video, I will refer to her as Carey Mulligan, and I will be referring to the other one as the other one, though there is little point in making individual reference to them since they are both the same character and do the exact same thing in the movie. Drive places to the accompaniment of dramatic music. Walk places to the accompaniment of dramatic music. And sit in rooms talking to other women.
Harvey wanted people to submit to him.
And if they didn't?
Well, then he'd roar.
To the accompaniment of dramatic music. Though occasionally, women talking to other women is rudely interrupted by men.
We just keep going, and we continue to be thorough.
Pardon me? Excuse me? Hello. Hi. Hello, everyone. Did you see my friend over there?
Fuck you! Fuck you! Get the fuck out of here!
There are a couple of scenes where Carey Mulligan talks to a man, during which she magnanimously demonstrates her forgiveness of his existence.
I don't see you as a bad guy, Lanny. I never have.
Watching this movie was fucking torture. I have watched some absolutely horrifying shite to make videos for this channel. To name a few, Blonde, a pretentious, voyeuristic, over-stylized, dumb, vapid, stupid, ugly, depressing, and life-sappingly boring film. Anna de Armas spends much of this movie half-naked, and it's still the worst movie of 2022 by far. That is how bad it was. Blonde was a failed attempt at victim bait, portraying Marilyn Monroe as a victim and nothing else, and the men around her, all of them, as nothing more than oppressive, glaring perverts. Blonde was probably conceived of as awards bait, and it received awards. It was nominated for 8 Golden Razzies and won 2, Worst Screenplay and Worst Picture, both of which it thoroughly deserved. Ant-Man 3, probably the stupidest movie of 2023, though The Flash and Indiana Jones 5 are strong contenders. Ant-Man 3 features a subatomic telescopic radar built by a 15-minute-old female science genius.
Your daughter built a subatomic Hubble telescope in a basement.
And a CGI rendering of the northwestern region of hell made by overworked VFX artists at the point of a Disney bayonet. Bros, one of the worst movies I've ever seen, and a perfect example of a movie made by people who are a lot less interesting than they think they are.
Gay.
I'm too gay. Exactly how gay. Gay now.
Gay, Bobby.
He was bi.
It has no redeeming features, and the star, Billy Eichner, is an absolutely repellent screen presence, a garbage actor with a voice that has all the charm of a rusty razor wire dildo and a delivery that makes me want to plug my ears with the aforementioned.
You want to put Lincoln back in the closet? Fine! I'll put him back in the closet!
Lar 18, the only time I can remember being more bored in a theatre was when I went to see Cats. Lar 18 also contains the worst thing to have happened in 2023 that did not involve death or injury to a human being.
Bastion, I got that scuttlebutt. Anything goes. Who'd ever guess? Our little aerials. You're welcome for the scuttlebutt.
Though I'm not entirely unconvinced that Awkwafina's performance of When the Nightmares of Hell Became Sound didn't cause at least a few people to die of disgust. She Said is down there with those movies. I guarantee that if you attempt to watch She Said, you will give up on it long before it's over. She Said is preachy, sanctimonious, unapologetically far left.
Yes, Mr. Trump.
I do not know these women. They are lying. The New York Times has concocted these stories, and if you publish them, I will sue. She's lying. You are disgusting. You are a disgusting human being.
The winner of the presidential race, CNN projects, Donald Trump wins the presidency.
Dull, plodding, angry, sentimentalist dribble that is determined to conflate the actions of one man with as many other men as possible.
Can you imagine how many Harveys there are out there?
And make the viewer emote by parading scene after scene after scene after scene of sad-looking women in coffee shops relating their tale of abuse and crying.
I thought it would be far enough away.
Scenes which don't work because the viewer has no idea who any of these women are, since the movie doesn't spend enough time on any of them. But She Said can't be wasting time exploring the psychological impact of Hollywood culture on the victims of that culture, because it's too busy venerating the heroism of the New York Times.
So the story...
Job well done, Emily.
Thanks, Tim.
And you, Mike. Excellent reporting.
And two strong, powerful, trailblazing female journalists taking on the depraved abuses of Hollywood, or the system, as this movie calls it in a demonstration of brilliant linguistic originality.
Let's interrogate the whole system. This is about the system.
Attributing the actions of a small number of elite men to a culturally embedded system of oppression.
This is bigger than Weinstein. This is about the system protecting abusers.
Is the exact same mistake that led to the massive disproportionality of the Me Too movement, which identified a problem that was largely localized to Hollywood, and rather than simply relying on existing laws to deal with that problem, decided that only a massive international moral crusade coupled with a ruthless witch hunt could solve the problem. The Me Too movement brought a nuke to a knife fight, and the collateral damage was extensive. Carey Mulligan and the other one come off as scathing, self-righteous, unprofessional political activists on a moral crusade, rather than journalists trying to find important news and report it.
Do you wish you hadn't signed up for this story?
Do you?
No.
She Said's radioactive elephant in the room is, of course, that this movie is Hollywood, the same people that protected, enabled, and indeed encouraged Harvey Weinstein for decades.
And God, Harvey Weinstein.
now deciding that they are going to deliver a moral lecture to you about the depravities of predatory sexual behavior. To call this hypocritical would be an insult to hypocrisy. Watching this movie is like watching Don Lemon give a lecture on the evils of racial identity politics.
Racist, racist. Racist, racial discrimination. Racism, racist, racism. Racist.
Or seeing a TED talk from Lily Singh on the importance of personal accountability.
In 2019, I made history with my late night show, A Little Late with Lily Singh. Thank you. Thank you. Unfortunately, the budget wasn't based on the importance or significance or historic nature of the show. We did it all with a writing staff of about half a dozen writers versus the network standard. That's about double that. But every time I would be told that I should be grateful to have a seat in the first place. After all, everyone else that looks like me is still waiting outside the restaurant in the cold.
Or watching Amber Heard deliver a class on the fundamentals of a successful marriage.
But I did not punch you. I did not fucking deck you. I fucking was hitting you.
The studio behind, she said, Universal, worked personally with Harvey Weinstein on Inglourious Basterds, and yet here they are inserting this line into their movie.
Can you imagine how many Harveys there are out there?
This from the exact same people who were very happy to turn two blind eyes to Weinstein's depravities. This goes beyond hypocrisy. It's just bizarre. It's like seeing an anti-war movie released by Goebbels' Ministry of Propaganda. In another scene, Universal depict the act of approaching a woman thusly.
Hello, everyone. Did you see my friend over there? He said hi, but I was just thinking maybe I could just
all right,
have a
man,
moment.
We're having
of your
a
time.
Conversation, so you could
you
just
should be doing something else. So.
Fuck you.
I would bend you over.
Fuck you.
Suggesting that to approach a woman is a form of sexual abuse, an invasion of the female space, something that only drunk, desperate losers do.
Frigid bitches.
Frigid bitches.
And encouraging women to respond to it like psychopaths who haven't taken their meds in a few months.
Don't apologize.
And there is no sense that this is an apology from Hollywood. A mea culpa that acknowledges Hollywood's deeply embedded culture of transactional sex, degeneracy, abuse, and their vampiric predation upon the dreams and bodies of the young. There is a single reference to the system, but other than that, all this movie does is follow two relentlessly tedious women as they walk and drive around while dramatic music plays to assure the audience of the solemnity and importance of their crusade.
I am a professional. I am sexualized and diminished.
And sit down with some sad sack to have a depressing conversation about the evils of Harvey Weinstein. The movie does make some allowance for the victims to tell their story in the sacred presence of Saint Carrie Mulligan or Saint the Other One. But the problem is, I don't know who any of these women are. There's too many of them, and they're really only in the movie to provide information to a politically motivated, corrupt establishment organization and to form the constituent parts of a nuclear sympathy bomb to drop on the heads of the audience. Carrie Mulligan and the Other One are supremely unlikable. If you want a clear understanding of what is meant by the word smug, watch these two characters for 15 minutes. Carrie Mulligan in particular is fucking insufferable.
Fuck you!
Oh, and what the fuck, Lanny.
Neither she nor the Other One have any real characterization beyond career ambition, a desire to smash the system, and a deep, heartfelt empathy for the victims that the movie portrays with all the subtlety of an Amber Heard courtroom performance.
It's torture. I'm in so much pain, emotionally.
She said lionizes the Me Too movement and the Women's March. That's the same Women's March in which activists carried placards demanding white genocide now. She said even has an end screen which reads,
Cantor and Tui's work helped ignite a worldwide movement against sexual misconduct. Their accounts led to workplace reforms, changes in the law, public and private reckonings over sexual harassment and violence, and debates that continue to this day.
At this stage, it has become clear that the Me Too movement was a disastrous social phenomenon, but a lot more on that later in the video. Real world politics aside, the biggest problem with She Said is that it is just incredibly boring. Carrie Mulligan and the other one have the same dull, boring, repetitive conversation in variations of the same dull, boring location with a roster of depressed looking women. The dramatic zenith of the movie is a perfect metaphor for just how sterile and boring modern journalism is. A pack of office jockeys staring at a screen. Yes, really. Journalists are a textbook example of people who are not as interesting or important as they think they are, and that attitude is reflected in the movie itself. She Said thinks it's a profoundly important film that will continue to be watched and talked about for generations. The filmmakers think they're making All the President's Men, but updated for a modern audience.
Fuck you!
But they aren't. Carey Mulligan and the other one are not Dustin Hoffman and Robert Redford. Marshmallow soft, modern journalists working for a corrupt entity that hocked its ass to the establishment long ago is not the journalism of 50 years ago. And the New York Times hunting down some Hollywood dickhead isn't the Watergate investigation. The Watergate investigation is interesting for many reasons. One of them is that people really were shocked at just how corrupt Washington politics actually was. Today, it's almost farcical to think that there was a time when the American people trusted the government and would not believe that the president himself could be corrupt. Today, it would be hard to find any American who doesn't believe that. But at the time, the revelation that Washington was a cesspit of political corruption and intrigue was a massive shock to many people. The New York Times investigation into Weinstein had the total opposite cognitive effect. No one was surprised that Hollywood was a den of debauchery, abuse, predation, and desecration. News consumers may have been intrigued by the sordid details, but no one was surprised to have confirmed what they already knew. Hollywood is a moral and sexual latrine. That so-called news was about as surprising as finding out that Philip Schofield, a British TV presenter who was hailed as a national hero when it emerged that he had been lying to his family and cheating on his wife with other men.
And I'll be by your side forever.
Was, in fact, a and a who had been jolly rogering a There is only one good thing about She Said. It was a massive box office bomb. In terms of box office as a proportion of budget, it was the second biggest flop of 2022, the biggest being Amsterdam. On a budget of $32 million, She Said pulled in a laughably and deservedly pathetic $13.9 million. And these were not the meager results of an unambitious movie, an indie movie given a week in theaters to make it eligible for awards, for example. No, She Said was meant to sweep the nation. It opened in over 2,000 theaters. This was supposed to be the moment when audiences stood and applauded Hollywood for taking this brave stand against the corrupt abuses of the system. A moment when, shown the way by Hollywood, men everywhere stood up and proclaimed,
"I take responsibility."
A moment when Hollywood's rightful place as the supreme moral authority was set in stone. But fortunately, audiences had other plans, and the film's debut was among the worst ever for a film playing in over 2,000 theaters. The Hollywood establishment tried to salvage this humiliating disaster by tossing a few meaningless awards nominations at the movie, including a Critics' Choice Award, since no one other than a pretentious cabal of fart-sniffing right-think bots could even pretend that they weren't bored out of their fucking tree while watching this shite smear itself across the screen for 2 hours. As revenge for the establishment pretending to like this movie, I, the despot, here present the genuine thoughts of normal people unfortunate enough to have seen the movie and who were kind enough to leave their thoughts on Metacritic. Karen iPhone. From Pangu Pingu.
The most unnecessary film of the year. I guess pretty much everyone already knew the details of this case, and its dramatization added zilch to the whole story. On another note,
The overuse of music besides the annoyingly monotonous and predictable flow of the script made the experience of watching this film all the more unpleasant.
From Ozymandiasa.
In 60 years from now, future generations will analyze this film using the same methodology as used when looking at Nazis, Soviet and US propaganda films. Worse than Triumph of the Will.
From Maverick.
All men are pigs and women are always right. That's how you'll feel after watching the movie.
Often, what's more important than what she said says is what she said doesn't say. Literally, there are entire scenes in this movie of characters staring at each other in silence, with the silence occasionally punctuated with spoken interruptions. Here's an example of this with the interruptions edited out. Masterful. If only Christopher Nolan had been aware of this groundbreaking approach to rendering dramatic tension on screen, The Dark Knight could have been so much more. Indeed, the dramatic climax of She Said is a scene in which Carey Mulligan, the other one, a guy who looks like Mr.
Reflection of myself,
Hillary Clinton's slightly less evil twin after a Botox overdose, and some guy, all stare at a computer screen for what feels like an hour, saying nothing. This everybody stares at a computer screen scene also highlights another problem with She Said. Far too much screen time. That is, far too much time spent on characters looking at screens.
Friendly to liberal points of view. We asked Ms. Toohey if she herself is a feminist.
Allegations, the company and Bill O'Reilly have agreed that Bill O'Reilly will not be returning.
I spoke to Dad. He sounded worse.
I'm not as nasty as you think.
That is just a tiny sample of the vast amount of time this sadistically boring detritus dedicates to depictions of women looking at screens. Fortunately, the director... Hold on, who is the director of this wank? I know it's a woman because of course it's a woman. Let's see. Maria Schrader. Hey, she was in Deutschland 83. Fucking great show. I still need to watch the third season of that. She is a very good actress, but as She Said demonstrates, the ability to act does not make you a good director, just as the ability to sit across from someone while not speaking does not make you a journalist. Anyway, Schrader fills these women looking at screens scenes with shitty music, which makes them brilliant. Absolutely. Sorry, wrong music. Bros, that catastrophic amalgamation of Hollywood's worst tendencies centered around a delusional, narcissistic, no-talent crock.
I spent years watching a wave of mediocre straight men passing me by. Men with half the talent.
Butch lesbian or a trans woman of color. Cis white gay man. LGBTQ plus history. Gay history. Gay people. The LGBTQ plus.
Half the talent.
Also makes the very amateur mistake of excessive amounts of characters staring at screens. Scene after scene after scene of a character looking down at his phone. There are scenes in that aphialtic curse of a movie composed entirely of characters texting each other back and forth.
Don't have ass pick. Sorry.
Need to see ass pick though.
Don't have ass pick.
Not gonna meet up unless you send ass pick.
Half the talent.
During a recent bout of severe masochism, I forced myself to become one of the few people in the world to make it through the entirety of Slenderman, a 2018 release that is probably the worst horror movie I've ever seen. This CIA torture device of a movie is about a group of girls who watch an online video, are cursed by interacting with it, and then kidnapped one by one by the monster featured in the video, who goes by the name Slenderman. It too features a seemingly unending barrage of scenes consisting of characters looking at a screen of some sort. Only a very incompetent filmmaker who lacks even a basic awareness of what an audience wants to see on screen would make the mistake of filling a movie with dramatic beats consisting of characters staring at digital rectangles. Filling a movie with shots of characters glued to a digital device will make that movie really fucking boring. Only someone capable of making a movie as bad as Bros or Slender Man or She Said would fail to understand that very basic premise of entertainment. This applies not just to movies, but to any form of entertainment. No one wants to show up to a production of Amadeus to see Michael Sheen staring into an iPhone 15 Pro Max for much of the play. Hereditary, an excellent horror movie released the year after Slender Man, features two teenagers as main characters. The average American teenager spends 8.5 hours a day on a digital device. That number takes into account only social media, gaming, and texting, and does not factor in schoolwork and homework. Despite this, Hereditary features only a few very brief shots of characters looking at their digital devices. A good filmmaker understands that a movie set in a grounded reality that depicts the modern world probably will require characters to occasionally look at a digital device, but this element should be kept to an absolute minimum. Bad filmmakers don't understand that, and the result is this.
Must see pic of ass.
Half the talent.
Before I get to the worst aspect of She Said, I will say the acting was very good. Carey Mulligan, the other one, the guy who looks like Mr. Reflection.
Reflection of myself.
Yes, Mr. Reflection, that guy does actually look like you. For once, I am in total unironic agreement with you.
I'm black, and I'm gay. And when you grow up African-American, gay, you're taught there's a different set of rules that you're gonna...
Yes, thank you, Mr. Reflection. Your contribution has been much appreciated.
Reflection of myself.
And even the guy who imitated Harvey Weinstein gave a good performance.
We've sent you who were covering Harvey.
Who have you talked to?
And the seemingly endless parade of women shoved in front of the camera to look sad and cry did a fine job of looking sad and crying. And occasionally looking sad and crying while running to the accompaniment of dramatic music. The most appalling aspect of She Said is the movie's veneration of the Me Too movement. Many people would defend She Said on the basis that it's just a movie about two conscientious journalists trying to uncover Harvey Weinstein's vile behavior and give his victims a chance to tell their story. The problem is that the film sees itself as much more than that. The filmmakers see the journalists as trailblazers who are important not just because they uncovered Weinstein's crimes, but because they opened the floodgates and unleashed the radioactive tidal wave that would envelop the Western world and come to be known as Me Too. She Said's end screen is a tribute to the Me Too movement, which literally spells out this viewpoint. Let's have a look at an article from the organization so emphatically lionized in She Said, the New York Times, to get a sense of what the Me Too movement was really about. In an astoundingly brazen admission that Me Too was an explicitly anti-male, feminist power grab.
There is only power.
The New York Times published this piece in October 2018, bragging about the destruction of so-called powerful men and the elevation of women to take their place.
Hashtag MeToo brought down 201 powerful men. Nearly half of their replacements are women.
It is well worth noting that Kevin Spacey is pictured among the so-called powerful men that the New York Times delighted in libeling. Here is an article published in July 2023 by The Guardian, a paper known for its strong embrace of all things anti-male. Karen iPhone.
Kevin Spacey cleared of sexually assaulting four men. Kevin Spacey wept and said he was humbled after being cleared of sexual assault in one of the UK's most high-profile hashtag MeToo trials. The 64-year-old Oscar-winning actor sobbed in the dock as he was found not guilty on Wednesday of sexually assaulting four men after a four-week trial at Southwark Crown Court.
In October 2022, Spacey was found not liable in a civil case filed against him by two men. One man, an anonymous accuser, refused to reveal his identity and was dismissed from the case. The other, Anthony Rapp, had accused Spacey of sexually assaulting him in 1986. It was revealed over the course of the suit that Rapp had given an inaccurate description of the apartment he claimed the assault took place in. Despite being found innocent in both civil and criminal court in two different countries, Kevin Spacey has not received an apology from the New York Times for libeling him in their article. That's the same New York Times that is glorified as a paragon of journalistic integrity in She Said. And Kevin Spacey was just one of thousands of innocent men demonized and cancelled during the Me Too witch hunt. From a Forbes article published 2020.
Though research is difficult to pin down on this topic, it does tend to show that false allegations represent between 2% and 10% of all claims. According to the EEOC, there were 7,514 charges of sex-based harassment filed in 2019. At the low range of the spectrum, 2% of 7,514 is 150. At the higher end of 10%, it's 750. That means that between 150 and 750 people were falsely accused in 2019. That's between 150 and 750 people who could have had their careers ended, their reputations destroyed, and years of hard work come to a grinding halt when they did not deserve it if the presumption is that they are guilty without a fair process. And that was just last year.
Those are the words of a pro-Me Too feminist writing for Forbes. The movement was so destructive and wanton that even those on the left who originally supported it eventually saw Me Too for the Frankensteinian monstrosity that it was. Me Too was an extra-legal, essentially vigilante movement operating in the kangaroo court of public opinion, a public comprised of individuals terrified of saying or thinking the wrong thing, who felt mentally suffocated during the Me Too moment, a name those leading the anti-male purge had bestowed upon it. Any man in a position of authority was terrified of landing on the incorrect side of the argument, lest he too find himself on the wrong side of the stone throwers. Me Too encouraged the immediate and unquestioned belief of any woman making any kind of accusation against any man, no questions asked. Indeed, to question the accusation, to question the woman, her motivations, memory, character, or behavior, was an outrageous display of misogyny. The movement was willing and indeed eager to sacrifice the lives and reputations of thousands of innocent men whose behavior could be interpreted as problematic, according to current year sensibilities. And this principle would be applied ex post facto, meaning that actions committed in the past that were considered fine at the time would now have to be punished. The occasional friendly hug to female colleagues might have been acceptable when John Lasseter was producing hit after smash hit, back when Pixar wasn't synonymous with critical and commercial failure and general artistic collapse. But today, standards have changed. John needed to be punished for his past non-crimes that have been retroactively updated for a modern audience to make them crimes. And so, Disney fired John Lasseter. Hey, how'd that work out for you, Disney? How's Pixar doing these days?
Lightyear, in its first weekend at the box office, is a complete and total flop for Disney.
In August 2018, when the Me Too movement was at the height of its triumphalist, blood-drunk onslaught, Spike published an article in which they related the self-aside of four men who had been Me Too'd. I have been forced to coin a synonym for the deliberate ending of one's own life because YouTube does not like the word suicide. From the aforementioned article, Karen iPhone.
Benny Fredrickson had been head of the Stockholm Arts Center, Kulturarvet Stadsteatern, for years. Then, at the end of last year, as the hashtag MeToo bug continued to spread around the world, he found himself accused of sexual misconduct and bullying behavior. He was shamed as a predator in the Swedish press, often on the basis of anonymous accusations. He was branded a little Hitler. He lost his job, his career, and his reputation. In March this year, he himself.
The other three victims were Carl Sargent, a Welsh Labour MP who checked out of Hotel Life in November 2017 after he had been suspended from all his political posts following, quote, anonymous accusations. Another Labour Party activist, unnamed, elected to sprint ahead to the final finish line after being accused of making sexual images of people. In February 2018, Jill Messick, a former movie producer, decided to call it a wrap after she was accused by Rose McGowan and other leading lights of the Me Too movement of failing to offer solidarity to abused women and siding with Harvey Weinstein. Rose McGowan detailed the accusations in her modestly titled autobiography, Brave, which, by an astonishing coincidence, just happened to be published while McGowan was at the pinnacle of her power.
There is only power.
Ruthlessly ruling over her mighty Me Too empire. Following Messick's self-aside, her family openly blamed McGowan and the media for her death. They issued the following statement in which they criticised
our new culture of unlimited information sharing and the willingness to accept statement as fact. The speed of disseminating information has carried mistruths about Jill as a person, which she was unable and unwilling to challenge. She became collateral damage in an already horrific story. Jill was the first person who stood up on Rose's behalf and alerted her bosses to the horrific experience which Rose suffered.
And while the Me Too movement probably thought it regrettable that an international purge intended to destroy men was also destroying women, as Tyler Durden teaches us,
you want to make an omelette, you gotta break some eggs.
What Rose McGowan understood, but Jill Messick's family failed to grasp, was that Jill was just one of those eggs that needed cracking. If a couple thousand innocent men a year can have their lives ruined for the greater good, then the occasional cracked egg isn't such a big deal. Right, Rose? By the way, She Said contains a scene in which Rose McGowan is personally singled out for particularly emphatic veneration. Apart from the tragic deaths caused by Me Too and the extensive career and reputational damage done to countless thousands of innocent men, there was considerable societal damage inflicted that continues to be felt to this day from the Forbes article referenced earlier, published February 2020.
The dark side of hashtag Me Too. What happens when men are falsely accused? Upwards of 60% of men are afraid to mentor women at work, fearing what will happen if they meet behind closed doors without a third party present. According to research from the Pew, a majority of respondents, both male and female, said that the movement has made it harder for men to know how to interact with women in the workplace.
Here's another article from Forbes, published January 2019.
A recent Harvard Business Review study exploring the hashtag MeToo and hashtag Time's Up movement's impacts on creating lasting improvements in their organizations revealed some adverse reactions. Men and women are not talking to each other. The environment is becoming sterile and completely unenjoyable to work in, replied one survey member. According to the survey, 65% of men indicated that since the movements began, it's less safe to mentor and coach their female colleagues. This unintentional consequence hurts the women the movement was meant to serve.
The corporate workplace was already a fairly miserable environment to work in, but the Me Too movement achieved the astonishing feat of making it even worse than it already was. Netflix went to the absurd length of creating so-called anti-harassment policies in order to formalize the joyless, miserable work environment Me Too had created. Netflix's policies included the following: no looking at anyone for longer than 5 seconds, no lingering hugs, no flirting, and no asking for a colleague's phone number.
Excuse me, we've been working together for a few days and I would very much like to get to know you better. I'm not much for flirting, so I'll just go out on a limb and ask straight up. Would you be interested in accompanying me?
The Me Too movement was a bloodthirsty witch hunt that ruthlessly hunted down any man unlucky enough to enter its crosshairs. A movement which completely ignored, indeed spat upon, the presumption of innocence until proven guilty, due process, the right to face one's accuser, and the burden of proof. All of this was tossed out in favour of believe all women. The Me Too movement gasped out its last tortured breaths during the Johnny Depp Amber Heard libel trial. Amber Heard's lies and psychotic behaviour finished off what had by that stage become a massively unpopular movement. After publicly lying in a vindictive attempt to utterly destroy an innocent man's life, this audio was played in court for the world to hear, and the world was listening.
You got hit. I'm sorry I hit you like this, but I did not punch you. I did not fucking deck you. I fucking was hitting you. I'm not sitting here bitching about it, am I? You are. That's the difference between me and you. You're a fucking baby. Because you are such a baby! Grow the fuck up, Johnny!
And with that, the Me Too nightmare was over. Celebrating, indeed venerating, the Me Too movement, as She Said does, is quite simply, fucking disgusting.
Oh my sweet quad long shot venti half calf double cup no sleeve salted caramel mocha vanilla pump white chocolate mocha toffee nut half soy whole milk caramel bean frappuccino. Not this, so much not this. Okay, let's unpack this. Maybe, just maybe, supporting female identifying people and non-men who are courageous enough to speak up against sexual harassment by men is called being a decent human being. The Me Too movement resulted in countless abuser men being brought to justice, and brought hope to countless non-men across the planet that abusive behavior from men was no longer going to be tolerated. And she said is an inspiring tale of two heroic birthing people taking on a broken, sexist, and patriarchal system.
No, non-playable sheep, Me Too's countless thousands of victims aside, the movement was fundamentally flawed from its conception. The abusive behaviors the movement was allegedly created to address were already illegal. This abuse was simply ignored by self-interested careerists in Hollywood instead of being reported to the proper authorities. The same people who ignored these actions then went on to make She Said, a tedious propaganda piece designed to encourage the public to give Hollywood a big pat on the back for condemning behavior Hollywood themselves had unapologetically reveled in for almost a century. The Me Too movement was a disaster, and She Said is hypocrisy made flesh. A sanctimonious disgrace that is shameless even by the non-existent anti-standards of Hollywood. The sole good thing to come out of the She Said debacle was that the movie was an absolutely disastrous box office catastrophe and a massive public humiliation for Me Too and Hollywood. From IMDb, Karen Iphone, read those beautiful words.
Universal's journalism drama, She Said, has become one of the worst performing wide releases in box office history, grossing a miserable 2.25 million from 2022 theaters.
The public utterly rejected Hollywood's pathetic PR exercise disguised as a movie, which was also a failed attempt at historical revisionism, intended to portray the vicious, powerful, and predatory Me Too movement as noble and just. Factoring in marketing costs, She Said probably lost Universal around $60 million, a just outcome. The Me Too movement will be remembered and viewed in much the same way we view the Salem witch trials today, a female-led public hysteria that was immediately regretted and looked back on with disgust as soon as it was over. She Said won't be remembered. Thanks for listening, subscribe, and don't forget to
fuck
the like button.